for schools, educators, students and educational developments. Dublin City FM.
Hello and welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with live streaming on dublincityfm.ie. Inside Education is your weekly mix of news and stories from the world of education. My name is Sean Delaney and I'm glad you can join me. To contact the programme with comments or suggestions, you can email insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That is insideeducation, all one word, at dublincityfm.ie. You can also text the programme at 086 8962 665. That is 086 8962 665. You can listen to previous Inside Education programmes on our website. That is www.insideed.com. That's www.insideed.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at InsideEd. Later in the programme, I'll bring you an interview that may be of help to anyone who is beginning a career as a primary teacher, and I also have a report from the Which Course Expo, which took place this weekend in the RDS. But as always, we take a look back at the news stories about education from the last week first, and to do this, I'm joined as always by Barry Hennessy. Welcome to the programme, Barry.
Hello, Sean.
Barry, you have word of a reaction to the threatened work to rule by the TUI.
The Irish Vocational Education Association has reacted angrily to a directive by the Teachers Union of Ireland instructing teachers to strictly adhere to recommended maximum class sizes agreed with the Department of Education and Science. Although the directive isn't new, the TUI has instructed its members to apply it strictly in the new school year, telling them to escort oversized class groups to a safe place where they can be supervised by a principal or deputy principal. I asked the General Secretary of the IVEA, Michael Moriarty, whether, in condemning the union's directive, his association could be seen as supporting the teaching of children in overcrowded classrooms.
No, that's not the case at all. Before, the thresholds that the TUI refer to in their directives have always been there for the last number of years. But what? Flexibility was allowed at local level. In other words, the staff in a particular school with the principal would do the best they can for the pupils they have and make the best they can. What is different about this directive is that if anybody in any circumstances cooperates in respect of, say, if you had 31 children in a regular class, then they will be taken to task by the union in a very severe way, and that's difficult. Like, the principal here is isolated. He is also a member, or she will also be a member of TUI, but the responsibility rests with him or her. And yet the cause of this is government policy in respect of cutbacks.
As we face into another school year, Barry, there's no sign of an end to protests about education cuts.
Sinn Féin has been holding protests around the country this weekend as the first real effects of the education cutbacks begin to make themselves felt in schools. Yesterday, I caught up with the Dublin South Central TD, Angus O'Snuddig, who was at a protest in Crumlin, and asked him what difference protesting would make to any teacher or student in an Irish classroom this week.
Well, we would hope that kind of by raising awareness amongst the public of the scale of the cuts and the effects it's going to have on children next week and over the next number of years, that they might take the time to ring their local TD, their local councillor, and in particular the Minister Bat O'Keefe, to ask them to reconsider and to reverse the cuts that they have implemented so far, and also to prevent them from any further cuts in education, because education is the future of our country.
There seems to be a generalised acceptance, though, that education, as one of the biggest spending areas, cannot be immune from the cutbacks that are taking place. What else would you be willing to cut in order to maintain education spending at the level you would wish to see?
In the end of the day, it's a matter of priorities, and if you're talking about investing in the future of the country, You have to invest so that you can make a profit. I would cut some of the money that's going to be spent on NAMA, for instance, on property that was speculated over years. The billions going to be set aside kind of to ensure that property speculators and the banking system is going to benefit from taxpayers' money, whereas, in fact, I believe that money would be better spent on laying the basis for the future economy of our country, and that basis comes through proper education of our children.
And finally, Barry, you have a story that might affect students preparing for their oral Irish exams.
As teenagers go back into class this week with stories of life, love and antics in the Gaeltacht this summer, the women who looked after them during their stay will be taking to the streets to protest at Onboard SNP's proposal to cut the government grant scheme they receive over the next 2 years. Scéimhne Folamóirí Gaeilge provides grant aid directly to the Mná-tí, which in turn subsidises the cost of the accommodation they provide to students. With the Leaving Cert oral Irish exam set to be worth 40% of the total mark by 2012, how would such a cut impact on those studying the language? Mihola Mórchín is president of Corna Munchóirí Gaeilge.
The effect will be that the Mná-tí, of course, then will lose the grants and therefore the fees for these colleges will have to increase dramatically, which will mean that it'll put the fees beyond the means of a lot of children. So the worst off children, that is the less well economically off children, will be the ones to suffer. Secondly, the thing about the college salary in the Gaeltacht is that is the one place or one of the few places where children have the opportunity to speak Irish in a natural environment. And if that environment is taken away, then they will find it difficult to get that extra expertise, which they so dearly need nowadays to be able to cope with oral language skills.
And thanks to Barry Hennessy for bringing us up to date with news from the world of education. My name is Sean Delaney and you're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. If you want to comment on the programme or suggest ideas for topics in future programmes, you can email insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That is insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. You can also text us on 086 8962 665. This is the time of year when many pupils all over the country are returning to primary school or attending primary or post-primary school for the first time. And of course, it is a momentous occasion for children and parents alike when they take that next step towards independence. But for many teachers, this time of the year represents their first day in a career that for many of them will last for 40 years or more. What is it like to be a beginning teacher on the first day of September? Beginning teachers have been through years of studying, and those lucky enough to have jobs now are taking charge of their own classes for the first time. In order to find out what starting school is like for new teachers and to get some advice on how they can settle in more easily, I met up during the week with Mary Burke, who is the coordinator of the primary strand of the National Pilot Project on Teacher Induction. I began by asking her what having your own class is like for a beginning teacher.
You're moving from being a student teacher into the role of teacher of students. So basically, overnight, nearly, you are in this transition period, and suddenly you find yourself in the classroom on a Monday morning, early September, and you have the responsibility for this whole class sitting in front of you. And that can be a junior infant class, it can be a sixth class, it could be many of our teachers find themselves in small rural schools. So you could have two classes, maybe three classes or four classes. So I suppose the very first thing that teachers worry about, new teachers worry about, is what will my class be like? What will my school be like? What will the staff be like? You know, what will, you know, generally the interest in what sort of role will I be playing this year in the context of the school that I've found myself in? That's number one. And number two then, just, I suppose it's a big transition period. Many of them will have been to colleges with a lot of their, you know, they'll have built up a lot of friendships and relationships with other peers of you know, who are entering teaching at the same time. But suddenly they'll find themselves maybe, you know, far away down the country, maybe from all of their friends. And that can be very isolating as well, in particularly in terms of going looking for, you know, support or having a chat in the evening after the day's work is done and debriefing about what has happened. So You know, I suppose starting out then, Sean, I would say those two things in particular. How am I going to do? You know, what's this place going to be like? And also, will I be a good teacher? I mean, that's the profound question, I suppose, is in everyone's mind. Will I do my best for these children? And how will that do for the year, you know?
Beginning teachers will, of course, have spent time in other people's classes on teaching practice. But as Mary Burke explains, teaching practice is very different from real teaching.
It is totally different because in the teaching practice experience, you are entering a classroom belonging to another teacher. And the resources are there, the charts are on the wall, the rules, the systems, the routines are all up and running when you enter that room. And also you are under the guidance of another teacher who's in that room. You know, they have the running of that classroom down to a T for the whole year. So you are in that fortunate position, and also you can then stand back and reflect on how you've done on teaching practice, and you get that little breather to do that. And you'll also then have a supervisor come from a college who will talk you through how you've done and will be able to kind of get you to discuss and reflect on areas that you can improve on. The big difference now is that suddenly in September you are in a classroom and these children are now your responsibility. And really, there's nobody else going to take over from you or give you that time to stand outside the door for a few minutes and reflect on why the lesson didn't go that well. So it's that sense of responsibility.
So what can beginning teachers do to help ease the transition into the work of teaching?
It's a sign of strength to ask for help, because one of the first things I would say to anybody beginning a new job is ask for support, ask for guidance, ask for help, because all around you people are only too willing, because most people have been in the position that you're in and they know what it's like to enter a new place of work, a new class, new surroundings, new routines, new demands. It can be very stressful. So the first thing I would say is before you enter, get as much support and ask as many questions as you can about where you're going, particularly around your classroom. I would even visit the classroom before the first day. I would talk to the principal, talk to the other teachers, bring your teaching practice, anything you've had from teaching practice that worked well with you, bring that with you, you know, and adapt that for your first week in your class. And be prepared for the first week. You know, in terms of have stories, have lessons that you have used before or that other people, your friends have used with junior infants. Be very familiar with the curriculum of the class range that you're going to teach, and pick out interesting topics, seasonal ones for this time of the year that you can do with the children in the first week. And bear in mind, it's their first week in school after the summer as well. So you like to introduce them to each other, introduce them to you. They're as much in awe of you as you are of them. So that week, first week in September, is a lovely time to start building a bond with those children.
Of course, different classes will present different challenges to a beginning teacher. What about a teacher who is teaching junior infants for the first time?
For any newly qualified teacher going into that setting, again, your preparation beforehand is very important. Having talked to other teachers in the school about that first morning, about introducing the children to the class, having activities ready to go that morning.
What kind of activities would you have in mind, Mary?
All of those schools will have early childhood activities, a range of them set up within their junior infant classrooms. So rather than a newly qualified teacher, you know, starting from scratch, the very first point of information you would go to is before you start is find out from a teacher who's had junior infants, and there's so many of them, and they have it down absolutely to a T how this works, what type of activities you would do in terms of, you know, construction activities. There could be jigsaw activities on the first morning. And these are all really good social activities, because bear in mind, again, going back to my other point, these children are new to the class, so they want to get to know the other children coming in as well.
But if a teacher is just starting off, where will they get the resources that they need to work with junior infants?
Most schools are very well aware, if they're assigning a newly qualified teacher to a junior infant class, they will make sure that those the materials, the resources necessary are in that class. And that's why it is really the responsibility of the newly qualified teacher to make sure before the first morning that they've been to the school, that they know that these resources are available, and that they've in their and that they have timetabled the day to structure those activities in. Because they, bear in mind, they'll also have from college, they will have lots of resources in terms of poems, drama activities, little games, stories, that will be very, very important to get the children, you know, involved on the first morning.
And what about beginning teachers who are teaching senior classes for the first time?
Again, my advice would be exactly the same. It's planning before the day is crucial, that you talk to other teachers in the school, that you become, and having come through college, you will be very familiar with the curriculum that's on the course for sixth class, that you are prepared for your first week in terms of that when you go in, that you have the day timetabled, and that you know what's coming next. That you, again, with children love a structure to their day. So from the start of your morning, that you would have each hour or each 40 minutes or whatever timetabled for the children that day. And like I said, even for junior infants, a variety is very important. It is their first week back at school. It is their first day. So getting to know the children is very, very important. And they will want to know what you're like. So being prepared, also getting them involved in making sure, you know, how the classroom will run for the year. With sixth class, that's very, very important. And you have to think before you go in, what sort of a classroom do I want for these children for this year? What sort of a classroom do these children want from me?
Does this come around to setting rules for the classroom?
Well, you have to sort of, again, you have to think very carefully before September. September begins, and before you enter that classroom, a lot of reflecting and a lot of thinking has to go on. And I think that question I've put is really, really important, is a classroom has to be purposeful. It has to be constructive, it has to be positive, and it has to be the setting for learning experiences for the children for the whole year. So you have to be thinking from the word go, what sort of structure, how will I structure this classroom? And during that year, you will be looking at things like, the systems for doing things in the classroom, you know, how you're going to do your corrections, the display of children's work, how you're going to manage discussion with the children during the day, and giving every single child opportunities for success in their learning experiences.
And what about beginning teachers who might be concerned about pupil behaviour or misbehaviour in the classroom?
Well, first of all, and I think every teacher will do this, you know, and I think all of us do this when we start off at the beginning of a year or a new job. I think you must look on it as creating a very positive atmosphere in your classroom. So rather than looking at the pupil behaviour when you start off, you really look at the atmosphere in your classroom from the word go, the type of the use of praise, the strategies to encourage good behaviour, rather than focusing on, you know, what if they don't, what you really focus on the positive, on the constructive, and on enabling opportunities to really encourage children to engage in the activities that you provide for them in the classroom. So I would, from the word go, again, I would refer back to the way you set up your classroom, the way you manage your classroom, the way you organise your activities, the way you plan, the way you prepare, and that's the way to, you know, and also then being able to go to somebody in your school and reflect on a particular strategy that mightn't be working for you in the classroom. You might have to say, well, that's not working. Now, why is that not working? And being able to sit down with somebody within the staff and talk about why that might be working and what other ways can we explore to find an alternative way of looking at this.
As well as relating to students, beginning teachers may also have concerns about relating to parents. And Mary Burke has some advice on this area too.
Well, I'm just looking back on my own career as a teacher. I'm 32 years now in the job this year. Now, I haven't been in the classroom all of that time, but most of it I have. And I have to say that working with parents has been probably one of the most rewarding aspects of the job for me, because it's made my job so much easier. The cooperation and the collaboration with parents. And for a newly qualified teacher starting out, I would definitely say to them that the whole area of communication with parents will be crucial to the progress and development of the children in their class. And to bear in mind that parents are partners in the whole education process, that the focus is always on the child's education and the child's development, and that where parents and teachers can come together to enhance that, then that always has to be worthwhile. So I would say to newly qualified teachers, in your school, there will be various ways of communicating with parents through newsletters, through one-to-one, through general meetings, and always to stay in contact with parents, particularly if you have concerns, or if a parent have concerns, that you discuss those and you talk about those, and that you keep regular communication. And I think in terms of the school will have those communication protocols set up anyway. So the main thing would be to tap into those protocols from the word go.
And there are many sources of support for beginning teachers, including the project on teacher induction that Mary Burke herself is involved with.
We're a pilot project at the moment, but there are lots of supports out there, Sean. There's education centres. Now, we hope to run through the education centre network in most of them this year. We will be running professional development sessions between September and Christmas in areas like classroom management and organisation, differentiation, teaching of reading and planning and preparation. But so education centres are one port of call, but your first port of call will be the school and the staff and the team in the school. I mean, they're really crucial to your whole development as a teacher, being able to tap into their knowledge, their experience, their expertise. And then outside of that, our website is www.teacherinduction.ie.
I also asked Mary Burke about the notes that beginning teachers are required to keep.
One of the key indicators really to success in teaching is your planning and your preparation, and being prepared, to get on the classroom floor every morning. And you must be prepared. It's like going on stage. You are there. It's a very high energy, dynamic, interactive occupation, and when you stand on that floor every morning, you really have to know the map for the day. You have to know the direction that you're taking the children in each particular subject in that day. So it is very challenging and very demanding as a career. And in terms of planning, I would say for a newly qualified teacher, you plan on a weekly basis. So again, there are guidelines on our website on planning for your short term, for your weekly planning. And then also, you must plan on a short, on a long-term basis as well. So you must have a vision of where you're going from September to December, and you must have from December to June where you are taking the children in terms of your planning. Now, that's absolutely crucial, because you must have, I always refer to it in geographical terms as map and compass. You must have a direction. And the children need to know where you're going. You need to know where you're going. And if you put in the time into your planning, you will reap the success of that on the classroom floor, because it will give a structure to your day. The management of your class and the interaction of the children will really benefit from that.
And beginning teachers are also required to complete a diploma during their first year in teaching. Can you say a little bit about that, Mary?
Well, that's the remit of the Department of Education Inspectorate. So we're not involved at that in that area. And for any newly qualified teacher who wanted information on the probation or the diploma, I would definitely refer them to the Department of Education website. And all the information they require is on that particular website.
And that was Mary Burke from the primary strand of the National Pilot Project on Teacher Induction. If you are a newly qualified teacher and interested in participating in the project on teacher induction, your school principal can apply for a place on your behalf. But keep in mind that places are limited because it is a pilot project. There is also a post-primary strand in the teacher induction programme, which has its own website. And I will put a link to that site from our programme's website, which is www.insideed.com. That is www.insideed.com. And the text number for the programme is 086 8962 665. Another idea that occupies many people's minds at this time of the year is taking part in further education. With that in mind, an expo that was held in the RDS this weekend was timely. The expo was titled Which Course? And when I visited it, I spoke to Bronwyn Daly, the event organiser. I asked her to tell me about the expo.
A Which Course Expo is in its second year. It's the largest exhibition of adult learning classes and courses in Ireland, held in Dublin's RDS. It's huge exhibition full of every sort of type of course, from pilot training to wine appreciation to Microsoft certified systems administrator. Like, it literally is, there's a course for everyone here.
And why was there a need for such an expo, Bronwyn?
I think there's so much choice out there, and especially at the moment where a lot of people have been made unemployed or they're worried about their jobs, a lot of people need to upskill. They need to make sure that their CV is recession-proof, as they're using that buzzword at the moment. So really, people need to find the course that's right for them, that's going to actually help them in their chosen career. Alternatively, there's courses for fun as well. So really, it's just putting all of those courses in one place so you can contrast, compare, and decide which one you want to enrol on this year.
And who's organising the event?
Learning Ireland is the company who's behind the whole event. And nightcourses.com, which is one of Learning Ireland's major websites full of classes and courses, that's the big sponsor here, as well as the Irish Times.
And how many providers are there of night classes and part-time courses?
Well, in the actual exhibition, we have 66 different part-time course providers. There's about 200 or so in the country, in the area. So we've got a huge proportion of those here today.
So can you give some examples of the kinds of courses that people might be interested in?
Yeah, well, as I say, I mean, there really is something for everyone. So you're talking about things which are just upskilling. You've got the computer courses, maybe the ECDL course, the European Computer Driving Licence course, which is a nice basic one for people who haven't got a clue, like my mother. She'd love to do that one. Alternatively, you've got the other end of the scale where people are doing, you know, the big certified accredited courses in computers. Or then alternatively, you've got all manner of things. There's alarm installation, for example, if you fancy doing a part-time job and getting some money that way. Or there's just so many. There's part, you know, film production, sound production. There's DJ training. There's literally everything here, you can imagine.
For people who've missed the expo, Bronwyn, what way can they go about finding out about these courses?
Well, the best place to look really is on nightcourses.com. If you still want to enrol for September, October, this the start of the academic year, have a look on nightcourses.com, and there's a search engine full of thousands of different courses there, and that's free. Alternatively, you can look on whichcourse.ie, and you can pre-register for next year. We'll be doing this event each year. This is our second year running, so you can look on our website and get some feel for all the courses available.
And how many people are you expecting here today?
Well, last year we had around 3,000 people. We're hoping for more. It's looking very likely at the moment, because we've got far more than this time last year, because I do feel there's a huge interest at the moment in education because of the current times that we're in. So, yeah, I'm hoping for more than that.
Bronwyn Daly, thank you for talking to me.
No problem. Thank you.
And next week, I will bring you more interviews from the Which Course Expo, including one with the Minister for Lifelong Learning, Sean Haughey, who formally opened the event. But that's all we have time for on this week's Inside Education. If you have comments or suggestions for the programme, you can email me at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. If you miss a programme, there are podcasts of previous programmes on our website, which is www.insideed.com. That is www.insideed.com. Thanks to Barry Hennessy for his news roundup. Until the same time next week, thank you for listening. And stand by for Up and Down, the Urban Music Programme.